The Guardian.
I'm Sadie Jones, and I'm reading from my novel, The Outcast. Prologue, August 1957. There was nobody there to meet him. He stood in line behind three other men and watched them get their things and sign the papers and walk out. And they all did it just the same way, as if you couldn't choose how to do a thing like that after all the time you'd been waiting for it. It made the same man out of all of them. When it came to his turn, there were only the clothes he'd been in when he arrived, and his wallet and cutthroat razor. They made him sign for them, and for the postal order his father had sent, and he was put to get changed in a side room. His clothes didn't fit him properly anymore. The trousers were an inch too short, and the arms of the shirt didn't cover his wrists. He went back to the desk and put his wallet in his back pocket with the postal order inside it, and the razor in his other pocket, and waited while the doors were all unlocked again to let him through. He didn't look at the guards, but crossed the yard to the small door in the wall to the side of the big gate. The door was unlocked and opened, and he stepped out into the street. There was no sign of the men who'd gone before him, or of anyone at all. He kept a hold of himself and didn't feel too much about it. He had been in a state of waiting, but the waiting wasn't for his release, it was for his homecoming. 2 years is not a long time, but maybe longer from 17 to 19 than at other times of your life. It was the colours that struck him first. The colours and the very bright sunlight. His eye could see far away down the street to where a small, pale blue car was turning a corner and disappearing. He looked up and down the street and thought that he could stand there forever in the clean air and look at the distance and the bricks in the houses that were different shades of yellow and brown and the bits of grass between the paving and the way there was nobody there. Then he remembered the prison at his back and wanted to get away from it. Then he thought that it was all he had known for a long time and he didn't want to get away from it. But he stopped himself thinking that and walked down the street, away from the prison, and towards where the pale blue car had gone. Lewis needed to cross the river to Victoria to catch the train home. He had to get to a post office to cash the postal order, and he had to get to the station. Then he decided he needed to buy something to wear because he felt foolish, and going home would be hard enough without looking stupid as well. Getting from one place to another and having to speak to people he didn't know made him feel frightened and more like a convict than he had expected to, and when he got to Victoria he stood across the road from the station trying to make himself go in. There was no shade. He had bought two white shirts and a light grey suit that came with an extra pair of trousers and some cigarettes and a pack of cards and a metal lighter with a hot flame. He was wearing one set of clothes, and the man in the shop had sold him a cardboard case to put the other things in, and now he put the case down and took cigarettes from the pocket of his new trousers and lit one with his new lighter and waited to be able to go into the station. He had never bought clothes for himself before. It was odd that he could have done the things he had done and not know how to clothe himself. His father had sent him enough money not to come home, but he hadn't asked him not to. Thinking about what he had done and what his father thought of him wasn't helping, so he watched the people on the streets instead. The colours were still very bright. There was a lot of blue sky, and the trees on the pavement seemed marvellous, and the women looked wonderful, and he had to stop himself from staring at all of them. He felt the flicker of life inside himself looking at them, and it was a bright flame and not a dark one, and there was promise in the way the women walked and the lightness of them. He tried not to stare, and was dazzled and hypnotized by every woman who passed him. Trying not to stare at women, but still looking at them as much as he could, was a game, and a good way to stop his head from getting away from him, and made him feel alive again. He wondered if you could get arrested for staring at women for an hour outside Victoria Station, and imagined the judge putting him away again the day he got out for picturing them under their clothes. And after a while, he was able to cross the street and go into the station and buy his ticket.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's The Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.